Podcast.com podcast. Well, everyone, the Chronicles of Narnia Prince Caspian is now out in the US. And Glumpuddle and I both went to see it twice, actually. And instead of starting off on reviews, we're actually going to hold off just a little bit on the reviews, partly because a lot of the people on Narnia Web have not seen it. It doesn't come out until June for people in Australia and the UK. So we're actually going to let – this is actually – if you are in the UK or in Australia, you have not seen the film – you can actually listen to this podcast. We're going to try to keep it fairly spoiler-free. If you know who the cast is and who basic facts, maybe if you've seen the trailer, then there's not really going to be any spoilers for you. So we're going to try to keep along those lines. We're actually going to first start up talk about a little bit about our initial reaction to the film. Not really giving a review, but it's basically whether we liked it or not. And second, we're going to talk about the fan reaction and the critics' reactions to the film and so on and so forth. So we had a really good discussion about this, and we're going to go ahead and jump right in. We were doing a live video conferencing, and we were both doing our imitations of the Glen Storm battle charge and the film. So let's go ahead.
Okay, well, we're recording right now.
Well, so. I really liked the movie.
Yeah!
It looks really awkward how he kind of does it with both hands. He goes,
yeah!
He looks so intense.
That is pretty sweet how he, like, stands all the way up.
Well,
that's
yeah,
he's
just
cool.
Doing, we gotta do that. We gotta do that in our video podcast.
More...
okay. anyway, are recording. But,
oh dear.
So, well, we have both seen the film twice, Glumpuddle.
We're here.
Yes,
it
and
is upon
this
us.
Is, and I had a great viewing experience.
Oh my gosh, Prince Caspian's in theaters!
And,
okay, let's do the podcast now.
Yes, let's do the podcast. Okay, let's come on. Snap, come on. Get with it.
Professionalism.
yes, seriousness. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, since you look like you're about to explode right now, what we're going to do on this podcast, we're going to give our initial reactions to the film. And we're also going to talk about the fan response. We're not going to really start reviewing the film so much right now. And, boy, you look ridiculous right now. But anyway, we're going to talk about the fan response and our initial responses more than actually reviewing the film right now. And for those of you in Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom,
poor souls,
we are in mourning with you. And our deepest respect for your not trying to swim over the Atlantic. Which is what we would be doing, or paddling in our little coracles if we were in your shoes.
That's right.
So, Glumpuddle, why not? Why don't you just go ahead and start?
Overall thoughts are that as a standalone movie, it definitely has some flaws. But because as a fan, I understand the book being adapted and how uncinematic the book is. I'm more forgiving of them. I think that I did like this one better than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It does have, I don't think it's any big secret that it has a lot more changes than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But most of the changes I thought were necessary, and since the book is so uncinematic. And I think this one, although the overall storyline, it actually feels very different from the book. They got a lot more individual scenes right, and to me it seems more in the spirit, and thematically I think it's a lot closer to the book than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was. In the end, it feels more like the book to me than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe did, and that's why I would say overall I like this one better.
Yeah, for me, I saw the film twice, but my reaction actually was fairly similar. It's not like I remember when I was 11, I think, you know, maybe I was 12. When episode one came out, I saw it, I thought, well, this is the greatest movie of all time. I watched it a second time, I thought, what a waste of my life. And so, but yeah, with this film, I think that for some reason, and I said this in my review, it really felt like a real Narnia to me. It doesn't feel like, it felt like a real world that had been there for a long time. And the first world, it was very visually stimulating and beautiful, but it didn't really feel like, oh yes, and there was all this history with King Frank and King Helen and in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that aspect. I liked how it felt real. I agree with you that the themes, yes, there were changes to this one, but I felt that the changes to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe were deeper changes. They kept a lot of the stuff on top the same, but with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, they changed some deeper stuff, which I felt undermined some of the themes.
Mm-hmm.
And here, it's almost like topsy-turvy.
All the way around.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the, while there are details that are changed, I feel like overall, the themes do come across very strongly. And I do think it's better, that much better than the first one. And I enjoyed it more.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about the design and feel of it. It feels, I really felt more like, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I felt that, like, when I was watching it, it felt like, wow, they did a good job, you know, recreating Narnia. But this one, I really felt like Narnia had come to life more so than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Although I do acknowledge that Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was supposed to have more of a fairy tale, idealized
mm-hmm.
quality to it, much more so than this one. This is supposed to be a little more reality. You know, Prince Caspian, because a lot of Prince Caspian is about, you know, talking about the old days and whether or not the old days actually happened. You know, comparatively, Prince Caspian should feel realistic, where Wardrobe feels more like a fairy tale. And
yeah.
So there's a lot of license for them to make it kind of, you know, looking really clean and idealized. But I agree that this one felt like a more real world. And even when things weren't how I imagined them, in a lot of ways, it was better than how I imagined it. Aslan Tao is a good example. I think it's
mm-hmm.
not how I imagined it, but it's like I imagined, but a lot better, basically. And so, without a doubt, I felt more like the world of Narnia was real.
Yeah, well, what's apparently, Glumpuddle, not everyone is as perfect as you and I, and therefore they do not have the
right.
same views as us. And
that's what I've heard.
Yes, and that's what the Rotten Tomato meter has certainly been depicting over the past week or so. But what do you think? I mean, it seems that, of course, on Narnia Web, the reviews are going to be positive overall, but
mm-hmm.
There's still, there's quite a few reviews in there that are no. And actually, I remember, and though I disagree with him on a lot of areas, Caleb70 wrote a really good review, and it was fun. He went to our Lion Party in Kansas City, and that was a real blast having him with us. But I remember once we finished with the movie, he was sitting right in front of me, and I leaned over. I said, "So, what'd you think?" And he goes, and he waited for about 10 seconds before he actually said anything. He was just sitting there thinking. But what do you think? Why do you think some of the reviews are more negative than others?
I think that, for, you know, obviously Prince Caspian is a very uncinematic book. You know, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, well, you know, it wasn't a perfect, like, the movie, I mean, the book doesn't work perfectly for a movie. They had to make some changes. It is, you know, essentially a linear story. Like, you know, there were some parts, like Caleb70 and I were talking last night, we were talking about Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and we were talking about some of the problems with that. And I was kind of saying, you know, there are some parts of Dawn Treader where it's hard to imagine it being a good movie, as it is in the book. But with Prince Caspian, it was hard to imagine it being a movie at all. I just couldn't. They really had to perform some major surgery to make it work. As a fan, I'm more forgiving of that because I understand how uncinematic the book is, and I'm more okay with the changes. Critics obviously aren't going to get that, and obviously the movie should work as a standalone film, and I think this one doesn't work as well as a standalone film. I also think that, and this may be good or bad, but I've read every single spoiler. You know, I've been following all the changes. You know, I've had a whole year to get over the Night Raid, And whereas a lot of people who haven't been following it are, you know, that's their first time and they're shocked. And that might be a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, maybe I've had too much time and I've had too much time to justify all these changes that actually maybe shouldn't be. But that's probably the big reason is, you know, I was thinking the other day, I don't think there's a single noticeable change in Prince Caspian in the movie that surprised me. I think I pretty much heard about all of them. And but that's the main reason is that I understand the book doesn't work as a movie, needs some changes, and critics obviously aren't going to understand that.
Mm-hmm. And some of my complaints with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe were changes that irked me because they didn't necessarily seem that serious, but I felt like there were just subtle lines, like with Father Christmas and things. And
yeah,
a spoiler for those of you who have not seen the first movie, I'm sorry.
Should not be listening to this.
You
then.
Should not be listening anyway. Yeah, shame on you. But you know, there's gonna be somewhere.
Someone's
somewhere
gonna say, "Hey,
oh my goodness!" But it's the first movie. But
I don't think the movie's been released yet on Mars, so maybe we shouldn't be giving that away.
But,
for our Mars listeners.
I mean, little things like, you know, Father Christmas says, "The hope that you have brought Your Majesty has weakened
the
witch's power."
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is, that's not a huge change, but it would have been so easy for them to have done it differently. And I look at some of the changes in Prince Caspian, and I won't really go into detail here, but I have complaints with how they did the ending of the film and the resolution.
Yeah.
But
I essentially agree with Caleb on that one. I don't think it's as bad as he says, but I essentially agree with what he said about the
King. But the thing is, even if they were to do it differently and more like the book, it would still be a big issue. It wouldn't be an easy task. And so in that case, I'm able to be more forgiving of, well, yes, I don't like how they did that. But if they did do it that way, I'm not sure. I don't know how they would have. I'd have to really think through it on how they would have done it. So in that
respect,
I
know how I would have done it. But, you know, I guess you should have to save that for until after June 27th.
Yes, of course. we'll get it all. You know, Jintz is going to 2 Lion parties.
Really?
Yeah, she's going to one in Edinburgh.
What's the
one
other
in
one?
Yeah. She's got one. It's in her signature, I think. 2 Lion parties. But,
It's the second movie. Maybe for Don Treader, she'll go to 3 Lion parties.
Maybe. Well, I think one of the things with the... I was thinking of why critics... I wonder if these days we have this expectation of course, the second one has to be better. Has to be
bigger
better.
And better.
Bigger and better, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But
more epicer.
More epicer, but more epic. It's going to be really epic. But anyway,
I think Prince Caspian is going to be huge. It's going to be really epic.
Really epic. Yeah. Well, what's funny is I think that some people. I was reading through a lot of the reviews, and a lot of them were positive. So I went, although. It wasn't so much better than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I think some of the reviews, it came across as negative because, boy, I was expecting it to be, you know, so much better, and I got this.
I think that as a standalone film, there's a lot of things. I was talking about this with my sister, and she read the book, I think, a long time ago. She doesn't really remember much about it. But there are certain things in the movie that...
And you related to her?
Yes. I know. I'll be forever shamed by that, but I'm working on it. We'll convert her to the good side at some point.
Good. I'm rereading it right now, but anyway.
Okay. But there are certain things that might seem like strange choices that they made if you haven't read the book. Like, for example, we were talking about I've heard a lot of people who haven't read the book say that I've talked to that have said they really wish they'd done more with the Peter Caspian rivalry. Like, they felt like there was a lot more potential for that, and they didn't really go. And the reason that I think they didn't do that is because it's so not in the book. They didn't want to take it – they didn't want it to have a huge effect over the overall storyline. You know, they wanted to keep it a little more subtle.
Remember, details here. Details.
Right. Okay. Right. As a fan, I understand that. The another thing is there is a certain – I guess I can't talk about that. Shoot.
No,
but there are
sorry.
Certain things in here. There are – places they don't go because it's just not in the book, and there are places they're it's very subtle. Whereas if it was a standalone movie, they probably would have done more with it. As a fan, I understand that, but someone who hasn't seen the movie is going to be like, oh, there's so much more potential here, so much more they could have done with this.
Yeah, I remember one review after The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe saying, there's so much you don't understand. I mean, good grief, that professor guy. I mean, they never explain why he knows so much. Sort of a, yes, you're right, they
about
don't
five
explain
movies
it.
Away.
Yeah.
What an excellent point. Funny you should say that.
But, you know, another word we've heard floating around is soulless, and in reference to the reviews. And I was kind of, what do you think people mean by that?
I think they mean that there's nothing for them to grab onto. This movie doesn't spend as much time on character development as the first one. Obviously, they don't need to with the Pevensies, but for Caspian, I think they could have used more. And I guess you can't go into details, of course, but
yeah, no.
I think that I don't need that as a fan of the book, but I think, and also the movie goes by very fast, and the pace is just really fast, and which that in some ways that's good, in some ways that's bad, but so I think people are feeling it just kind of feels like watching a series of events, and there's nothing they can really, you know, grab onto.
Yeah, well, I was wondering about that originally, and then I thought. Now I began to think about, okay, how would someone who has not read the book, maybe not even seen the first movie, how would they respond to this? And I can see how, just how they treat character development in this one. There's less emotional, there's less to get into with the characters emotionally early on. I think by the end of the story, you certainly have a lot more, but.
Yeah.
So I can see why, but initially, it's kind of funny. One woman from our church, that's one of my mom's best friends, she went and saw the movie. And I said, oh, did she like the books? No, she's never read the books. She's never even seen the first movie. I thought, oh, my goodness. How did she?
What did she think?
She loved it. She's going to watch the first movie. She's going to read. She's gotten all the books. She's going to read through all of them with her kids. And
that's
so,
surprising.
Yeah, for some people, they really like it. I think Caleb 70 is the only person I know who did not enjoy it that much.
He really didn't like it. I get the impression he really didn't like it.
Yes. Well, he was just kind of he wasn't. Really
well,
it's much
disappointing.
Happening.
I have a lot of conversations with him online. And I he loves E.S. Lewis, and I have a lot of respect for him. So I was really hoping he'd like it, but you know,
can't
please
everybody.
Yeah.
But
apparently not.
Although it was interesting, I told his girls that, oh yeah, a lot of people know about your dad on Narnia Web, and they go, oh, he's famous. I said, oh yeah, there's people who know about it, and they go, oh, I'm related to a famous person. So Caleb 70, you are famous now, get used to it.
All right,
I'm not clapping, but okay. Well, so, final thoughts here. I mean, tell me, how do you think? I mean, the film hasn't done as well at the box office.
Certainly hasn't. No.
But in fact, do you want to check the Rotten Tomato meter right now, or do
sure,
we want to
last
just,
I che-
or do we want
71.
To just diss the critics and say who cares what they think?
Who cares what they think? Yeah, let's just take a look right here. Last I checked, it was at 71, then it dropped to 67, and let's see, 66.
Ooh.
Top critics are at 62. I think if it falls below 60, it's officially rotten.
Go to the Rotten Tomato community. What do they say?
Rotten Tomato community.
What do normal people think?
They're saying 82.
Okay.
So significantly higher.
I didn't really help that because I gave it an 80, but oh, that was about fair, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. Despite how it's, you know, I don't think this is to be really expected. Personally, the Prince Caspian book did not do a lot for me. I love it because it's part of the Chronicles and it works great as a whole. But even as a standalone book, I don't think it's really that great. My personal favorite is The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, followed by The Horse and His
me
Boy.
Me too. I think I like Prince Caspian better than most people. I think the first half is. The first two-thirds are brilliant. I admit the end gets kind of slow, but I think the first two-thirds, the whole – I think the same – and the reason I end up liking this movie is that I like this movie for the same reasons I like the book. The whole concept of the Pevensies coming back 1,300 years later, now they're myth and legend. You know, I think especially there's one scene, like when the Pevensies first arrive, that I think really captures what the book is all about. So I just, the same thing as I love about the book, I liked about the movie. You know, I acknowledge that in the book, you know, the things people complain about is when Trumpkin starts his story, it's like, whoa, who's this Caspian guy all of a sudden? It kind of interrupts the story. I think in the end it pays off, though.
Mm-hmm.
And although it's my least favorite, I still think it has so many interesting concepts. It's such an unexpected sequel also.
I love the moments. I love the moments in Prince Caspian. It has so many great little moments, like when Caspian meets Truffle Hunter and Nickabrick and Trumpkin. And I love Reepy Cheep's moment with Aslan. And I was really happy.
Is it a spoiler to say that Reepy Cheep was awesome?
I don't think it's a spoiler. Reepy Cheep was great. And
I was really exceeded all my expectations.
It did. And I must say, I was talking to one of the assistant pastors at our church, and he said, yeah, as long as they get Reepy Cheep, then, you know, that's what's important.
Yeah, all this stuff about the myth becoming fact and return and the themes of faith.
Well, here's
the
thing.
In the end, everyone just cares about Reepy Cheep.
Reepy Cheep carries on to the next film.
Yeah,
that's
he really
very
is.
Important to remember.
Reepy Cheep really is he's the heart of Voyage of the Dawn Treader, his fearlessness of the unknown.
And interestingly enough, I've not seen one critical review of Reepy Cheep. I really
haven't. Even the most negative review, oh, the worst movie ever made. Oh, but that mouse is pretty cool. I mean,
yeah.
So yeah.
Is it even that mouse couldn't save this movie? I'm thinking. Well,
yeah, so I think no matter, even Caleb 70 said he thought Reepy Cheep was excellent.
Yes.
And if you're an Narnia fan, hey, they might have done some bad things, but hey, they brought to life one of the, arguably the most beloved character in the series, you know?
And they took, in my opinion, the most difficult book and made a better movie than the first movie, in my opinion. So
I think Last Battle might possibly be more difficult to make, but
that's true. The last act is going to be tough.
But this is certainly, as a movie, this is certainly one of the most uncinematic books. And for as considering the book that they were adapting, I think they managed to overcome most of the challenges pretty well. Some of them couldn't be overcome, and I acknowledge that. But I thought they did. They made about as good of a movie. They could have done better in places, but for the most part, they ended up making a really good movie out of a really uncinematic book, and is still faithful to the essence of it. And that's the reason I give it the thumbs up.
Yep, and I think I gave the direction, but. Of course, there's some things I have with the adaptation, but, you know, one of the big jobs of the director, which I've talked about before, is taking a big team of people and looking across different aspects. You have the actors, you have the cinematography, which is good. Also, I don't know if that's a spoiler.
Oh, yeah, it was excellent.
It's a lot better than
I hope they get nominated.
Yes, and the effects were good, and a big spectrum of things mattered in this movie. And to pull all those together into a storyline, in all fairness, I think that while there are definitely issues with the book movie, I think Adamson actually, I think he succeeded in a lot of areas where he wanted to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some things maybe he wanted to do I didn't want him to do, but in accomplishing the changes and issues he wanted to do, I think he did a good job in overall succeeding there. So
yeah, I hadn't thought of
that.
I think
thumbs up.
For the most part, I'd say that's true. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Well, for those of you in New Zealand and Great Britain and Australia, you are in for a treat, in our opinion. So,
although there is pretty much a feeling that you either really like this movie or you really don't like it. I think that there's very little middle ground this time. So, that's the thought I'd leave you guys with, is that you're either going to love it or hate it. Reread the book.
Yeah.
Some people don't like to reread the book. You know, they think it ruins the experience. I'll say that I finished the book the day before I saw the movie, and I liked the movie. So
I'm actually reading the book after the movie, right after.
Yeah, I probably will pretty soon. I'll read it again.
Yeah. Well, Glenpuddle, it was a pleasure.
Okay, sure.
And
we've got years and years of analysis ahead of us now.
Yes, we do. This is not this is not our review. Just so the reviews are coming. I still haven't decided how we're going to do it. Probably probably tackle different issues with different members.
Yeah.
And so anyway,
issues.
Thanks for listening. And what do we say at the conclusion? Should we say
further up and further in?
Further up and further in.
If you want to email me or Glumpuddle, you can email us at rillian@narniaweb.com or glumpuddle@narniaweb.com. Boy, that's how he came up with that new username. I'll never know. There's a story behind that, I'm sure. Anyway, so make sure you're checking out the latest with Lion Parties. There's also Lion Con coming up. Make sure you check that out and pre-register if you're planning on going. And there is also a contest for those of you who live in the UK to win tickets to the premiere in the UK. So you can sign up for that. Again, you have to be in the UK to sign up. And best of luck. Hope it's a well-deserving Narnia Weber who gets the prize. You've been listening to the NarniaWeb.com podcast, and I'm your host, Brilliant. Thanks for listening.